This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Time for the case.
And good evening to Don.
Dying alone is very underrated.
And to Michael.
I'm a blob. Not well defined.
And to Michael and Don.
Don, why are you so down on yourself? You're really handsome.
Yeah, you think so?
And to myself.
What does it feel like, a pipe?
And lastly, we say good evening to Dave Rothenberg.
What's up, E-Bro?
It's never in my life have I heard someone trying to be cool and failing worse. Have you ever?
No, he's a doofus.
Now
he was so thrilled that somebody as hip as E-Bro would know who he was, and he just lost his mind.
Kind of similar thing happened with Q-Tip, right, Peter, over the summer?
Well, no, the Q-Tip thing was actually, before coming on the air, he admitted that he knew nothing about Q-Tip, didn't know who he was, though he had heard of A Tribe Called Quest. And then when Q-Tip came on the air, he just, like, he really, Anthony, can you even find a clip of it? He, like, really tried to force himself to be friends with him. He asked him to go to a family barbecue this weekend. Or that coming weekend.
It's ridiculous.
I can't even think.
Let's go!
Of something that Ebro would like less than to spend any significant time with Dave.
And he didn't know who Ebro was 5 minutes ago. Why would he know who Ebro was?
I would assume he does. More so than Q-Tip, I would think. He's a radio guy. He knows that I'm on Ebro's show.
That's how he knows.
Look, even the mayor knows Ebro.
Ebro's.
No, he really doesn't.
Yeah, let's go back to last night, shall we?
Sure.
Let's hear what happened. Ninth inning, Michael Kay on the YES Network.
Here's the 3-1. Drill deep to left field. There it goes! Number 60! Slide over, babe. You've got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs. How many times did you say that when you were in Maryland?
Which one?
Slide over, babe.
I think it extended here as well.
Wow. I never thought about it when you said that. That line that you used, it's the equivalent of like what a guy would say to a girl in VIP at a club.
Slide over, babe.
Slide over, babe.
Got some company.
Yeah, I'm joining the booth.
Which
here
is
I come.
A really good line if you think about it.
Oh, my God. Peter, I didn't even think about that.
Slide over, babe.
Now, if this conversation, like, let's say you threw out there as a possibility.
Right.
And then Peter suggested what he just suggested. Would that have moved you off the call?
I don't know if I would have made the call if I thought of it previously. It just came out of my mouth.
You really?
Hey, man, what's up, Eddie? Good.
You really didn't think of any of that until.
No, I thought about was, I've got to connect him to Ruth somehow.
Of course.
And then after that, it was kind of organic.
Oh, so the connecting them was why you went with the assassin names.
What do you mean the assassin?
Yeah.
No, I mean it just makes it more official. A lot of people don't hear him called Aaron James Judge.
I don't even think I remember that was his middle name.
I don't think anybody knew until just now.
That's right. See, I don't just announce, I teach.
Now, Anthony, you don't happen to also have, I'm sorry I'm blindsiding you with this, I should have written you earlier, but I'm a hack-a-doodle-doo.
The Q-tip thing is, I don't think that's happening. Anything from that.
We've moved on.
It's okay. We've moved on from
that.
I'm
sorry.
But you don't happen to have Sterling's call from last night, do you?
I don't.
Look around for it if you can. I'd like to hear. I just haven't heard it yet, but not urgent. Let's hear for right now, though, Michael's call then later, the same inning, the Stanton walk-off.
That one's drilled to left field. Is it high enough? See ya! A walk-off grand slam, and the Yankees win! Judge hit 60, and the Yankees win in walk-off fashion.
Wow, what a beauty.
What a night.
And let's hear it. Here's what it sounded like when Sterling called the Judge homer.
The 3-1. Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Call courtesy of WFAN. Of course, John really got excited there at the beginning, Michael.
He did, and for him to say wow like that, he was genuinely excited.
Let's hear the Sterling call of the walk-off.
Swung on, drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be gone, a grand slam to win the game. A no-one-out, bases-loaded, grand slam, bottom of the ninth. And the Yankees have come back in the ninth inning with five runs to win the game 9-8. Stanton finally delivered a bullet line drive in the left field seats. Giancarlo Nonci Postobarlo, a Stantonian home run, a bullet line drive in the left field seats. What an inning. Judge homers to make it 8-5.
Wow, he did all of them.
And probably finish that up with Yankees win. To me, it would be so exhausting to remember all of those calls that he has and to get all of his, like, catchphrases in. I don't know if I could do it. First of all, I don't have a great memory. I mean, for him to get into wow. That's why he's a legend.
What does the Giancarlo one mean again?
I really have never been able to really decipher it.
He gotta
be stopped. Giancarlo is that enamored with it. What is that, Anthony?
I believe it's he cannot be stopped.
Giancarlo, no puedo se par. Yeah, he
no
cannot be. That sounds right. He cannot be stopped. Call,
he didn't stop for like 19 games before that grand slam.
That's a great point. Let's hear from Aaron Judge after the game. What does 60 mean to you?
It's tough to say because I don't think about it. I don't think about the numbers. And, you know, when you talk about Ruth and Maris and Mantle and all these, you know, Yankees greats that did so many great things in this game, you know, you never imagine as a kid, you know, getting mentioned with them. But it's an incredible honor, you know, something I don't take lightly at all. We're not done. We still got a couple games left in this season. And, you know, hopefully a couple more wins come with them.
Are you comfortable with the added attention, Aaron?
Getting a chance to play baseball at Yankee Stadium, you know, in a packed house, you know, on a first-place team, you know, that's what you dream about. I love every second of it. You know, even when we're down, you know, you don't like losing. But I knew, you know, with the top of the lineup coming up, you know, we got a shot to come back here and do something special. So I'm trying to enjoy it all, you know, and soak it all in. But I know I still got a job to do out on the field every single day. And, you know, I just got to keep my head down and keep preparing and stay mentally focused.
He's really pitch perfect. He doesn't make missteps. Now, if you want one little misstep, one, I'll give you one.
You just said he doesn't make any, though.
Well, maybe I'm being ultra critical. You got to come out and talk to Meredith when you do that home run. You got to. It's imperative.
And what happened? He didn't?
I think he thought that Giancarlo's hit was bigger and that he should be the one. You got to know what the story is.
Yeah,
the story
is
you.
But you like where it came from. No, the story is not me. The story is the guy who won the game because the game's more important. I think that's actually cool. I mean, I went through it, my own little mini going through it with Kreider last year. Like, if he scored a goal and he lost, he didn't even want to talk about it. He didn't care about it. And we talked to him on Monday. You know, he doesn't even think about those things. It's all about winning, and you love players like that. Like, listen, it's not about me. It's about my teammates. The story is Stanton, a home run, and we won the game. Not that I tied Babe Ruth. And that's all fans want to hear and see. So I disagree. I don't think that's a misstep. I think that's what makes him so endearing to fans.
And the teammates.
But do you think fans wanted to hear from him on the field, the people that were in the stadium there?
But it's coming from a place of, why am I the story?
I added one run of the nine
we scored.
That's being way too humble. You know why you're the story. You just hit the 60th home run to tie Babe Ruth. That's why.
Yeah, but you could totally understand why a modest person would say, no, 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 Giancarlo, you get out there. Come on, this is your night. You just you set the game winner, walk off Grand Slam. Come on, I've had 60 of these. I'm with Don. I think it's.
Then why did he, when he got to the press room, the first thing he did was he apologized to Meredith on the mic.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Come on, I didn't come out and talk with you.
Makes him even like nicer. Right,
so,
like,
so he's just perfect. What you're saying is everything.
He's the perfect human being.
He's basically. Yeah. A Christ-like individual, if ever there was one.
And you know what? And it's not as noble as you think. I think a lot of athletes, at least the really good ones, think about their teammates and they think about wanting to win a game. He didn't want to come out for the curtain call when it was 8-5 because it felt like they were going to lose the game. And if they
now
lost
that
the
I
game,
understood.
Yeah,
that
and
I got.
So it's the same thing of like, listen, the story for him, like to the public, is that we just won a game, an important game, a step closer to clinching a playoff berth, and Stanton, who's been struggling, just hit a walk-off grand slam. That's the story, not me and my little accomplishment. That's the way he looks at it because it's an individual achievement. It's not a Yankee achievement. It's an Aaron Judge achievement. But the ultimate teammate looks at what's the end game for the Yankees and the team. One's a cool story. The other one is a very, very important story. So I'm with Peter. He's almost the perfect human being.
I'll tell you what, though. I am starting to get a little – and I'm not even a Yankee fan, okay? But I'm starting to get a little, like, preemptively bummed out at the idea of him not being here.
Don't think like that.
Especially if he gets the record. It would stink so – I don't know.
I'd still say the odds are he returns here.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, if you're giving odds, it's over 50% he comes back here.
And here you want it like something to chew on, Peter?
Please.
And get depressed about, even if he comes back?
I love getting depressed.
This is never going to happen again. Like, even if the Yankees re-sign him, great player, going to the Hall of Fame, this year's not going to be duplicated. It just can't be. These are years that come along every 34 years, if they come along at all, 30, 40 years. So you think he's going to be able to – he can't top this. You think he could ever match it?
The odds would be no.
No, I mean, it's inhumane. Right? So he goes out there and has 40 home runs and 113 RBI. That's an excellent season. Might actually have him in the running for the MVP. Think how far that would be from what he's doing right now.
Pretty fascinating stuff. Tim Kirkshire was on ESPN Radio, and he was asked, who is the all-time single-season home run leader?
It's a line in a record book, and it's important. However, if we start taking records away from players, and we are really going to destroy the record book. There was an asterisk next to Roger Maris's home run record for a very, very short time. And then everyone recognized this is really bad and this is really unfair. I think we should just leave it up to our best baseball fan and let them determine who is the all-time single-season home run leader. For me, it's Barry Bonds, but I understand anyone who looks at this differently, and that's the beauty of the sport. It's a record, it's a line in a record book, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
I think that's the way you have to leave it. Everybody has an individual feeling, and you let people decide who they feel is the number one guy.
But that's why, Judge did the right thing, but still Major League Baseball acknowledges 73.
Yeah.
That's the record. If you want to privately say, I don't buy into it, that's what's great about sports. You know, a team can win a championship, but we can actually have a conversation. There might have been better teams. Or what team's better than this team? Or we can come up with any kind of excuse. Oh, well, they did it during this year or that. That's the beauty of baseball. But at the end of the day, you look in the book, and the book says Barry Bonds, 73, is the record. Rate he's going, I guess that's not even off the table.
Let's hear from Aaron Boone on just how special this Judge season is.
And I go back to the context of the season, and the more I look at it and dive into it, it's got to be an all-time great season. I think it mirrors other sports we've seen, Gretzky in the days where what's the difference between one and two, Jim Brown, Babe Ruth. I think it's that kind of season that we're looking at.
He sounds like
right.
He sounds like Jeff Van Collinsworth right there.
That's a great conversation.
Go ahead.
Is what is the greatest single season in sports history, and where does this rank among it? From a statistical standpoint. Like Gretzky's 81-82 is really difficult to top. I mean,
I don't think it can beat Gretzky.
But it's when you come up with the top five, I would think judges would have to be in the top five.
I mean, are we gonna talk about Wilt Chamberlain averaging 50 points for a game for a season?
Well, yeah,
it's got to be in the conversation, right?
He was a foot taller than everybody else, but it's not his fault.
Yeah, so is Aaron Judge, you know.
But listen, that could be an outstanding top five that maybe I'll work on at some point. Because that you got to put in the work for that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go to football for a moment, shall we?
Now? Yes.
Here's Robert Saleh's update on Zach Wilson.
Bob.
Yeah, he'll take another step up. It's not going to be much different, but he's still going to be in practice, and he's progressing very well. I like the way he's moving, but we'll ramp him up just a touch more, get to the reevaluation, and make decisions on how he needs to proceed from there.
And is Wilson on track for week four still?
It's the earliest that we were given. He is progressing very well, and I don't want to talk for doctors, but it's the earliest, but we are confident that he's looking really good. So we'll see.
And he did make clear today, Don, that when he's available, he will be playing.
But what is available? You know,
is this a deep question you're asking
me?
No,
it's deep in the sense that it depends on what they deem to be ready. Because I heard they're not going to play him until he's 100%. So that doesn't mean, well, when he comes back to practice, or it means when he's 100%. Now, the way he talked, Peter, if I were a betting man, he's not playing in Pittsburgh. Well, that was the earliest we said. When he's ready, he'll play. It gives him the wiggle room. If Flacco beats Cincinnati and they want to ride that wave, they can do that without making it seem like Wilson is being stunted at all. It's like, oh, well, he's just not 100% yet. You know, we're still waiting. He's doing some really good things, but we're kind of just waiting for 100%. I know the Steelers aren't great, Peter. That's a really tough place to make your season debut in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's not necessarily what it once was, but it's still something.
No,
you're still dealing with a fierce defense.
You know, and then the next week, you're home against Miami. Again, no great shakes. I mean, there's no perfect place, because then after that, it's at Green Bay, at Denver. You know, so you don't want to get – that's why I think it's kind of silly to think Flacco's going to continue to win, right? I mean, we don't know if he's even going to beat Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, home against Miami, at Green Bay, at Denver, home against New England, home against Buffalo. You know, you're not going to get too many wins, no matter who your quarterback is, with that kind of a schedule. I'm just saying, the fact that he said, well, Pittsburgh was the earliest we said – we're waiting for him to be 100%. If I had to lean, I would say we don't see him until the home game against Miami, which would be week five.
Now, speaking of Pittsburgh, we just didn't mention this all week. I don't know if it crossed your mind at all. You know, I was in New England, so it was the game on TV. It was the Patriots and the Steelers. Don, that was like a perennial, incredibly meaningful 4 o'clock CBS game. Did that game at 1 o'clock on Sunday with the quarterbacks, with Mitch Trubisky and Mac Jones, did that not feel like it had lost so much luster?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's so yesterday. And when we say yesterday, we literally mean yesterday. Like, this is the first year. But you get that feeling with New England, right? I mean, just come on. They made the playoffs last year, but just humbled in the postseason. I don't think anybody really thinks they're going to contend for the division, so maybe they could be a wild card team. Maybe Pittsburgh, you know, it's an end of an era. No Roethlisberger.
And I just wonder how much Belichick has the appetite at this point, accomplishing this much at his age. how much of an appetite does he have to do this and not be out on a boat in Nantucket?
I see. There's two ways to look at it. Now's the perfect time to get the heck out, right? But it's in his soul, and if he ever did find a way to get this team back without Brady, because it probably does bother him. Brady has won post-New England. Now, I don't know if he's close to winning, and it's not fair to expect him to win with Mac Jones as the quarterback, but if they find a way to get into the playoffs again with him, I mean, it does kind of add to the resume. People, the only reason people kind of respect the chances of New England making the playoffs this year is because of Bill. So is this the ultimate challenge that he just can't pass up, or is he just delusional?
You know what?
He thinks he could do something that he can't.
I know the perfect person to ask about this. Dan Orlovsky.
Now, the big...
Dan Orlovsky will join us next. That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening. We will get to the bottom of Flatulence Gate with Dan Orlovsky next, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.